So this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chinny Checkwell. We got a very special guest. I don't even know if I need to intro this guy, but we got Bobby Carpenter on the show. All-American linebacker at Ohio State. You can catch him on the Morning Juice on 97.1 The Fan. He's busy. You got the Bobby Carpenter Show podcast. You also can catch him on the Pat McAfee Show on ESPN. What's going on, Bobby? How you doing?
Oh, man, it's good. Just happy to catch up with you guys, man. See how everything's going and talk a little Buckeyes.
Yeah. We really appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, so, you know, no matter how much I see you now, my first picture of you is still what I see. I see long hair, shirt off, you know, running running gasses. Like, that's my vision of you always. So
looking like a true Spartan, man, that's for sure.
I still try to go out and run a little bit like that. The problem is, like, I get so...
Yeah, we get you. Or you get fat. One of the two. Well, yeah, so thanks for joining us. Obviously, we got a spring ball going on right now. We know you're pretty close to the program. You get to make it up there for a ton of practices and see the guys in person. I haven't made it up there yet. I think it's an open practice maybe next Saturday or so that I might try to get to. But early on, obviously, it's fresh. How's the team looking, Bobby? How is all this Ohio State talent kind of looking to you in your eyes?
Well, you know, early on, it's, as you guys know, man, football hadn't really changed all that much. I mean, some of the plays, how they do things, but install still install. So early on, they're putting in, you know, your classic, you know, two or three plays, two or three defenses in the first day. And you want to keep it simple so the guys can go out there and play football. And, you know, the young guys that probably look really good, you know, Caleb Downs coming in on defensively, he's looked good. You know, this Sonny Styles shifting him around. I mean, these guys, especially when you're moving to new positions, like, you want to allow the guys to work on technique, work on their reads, and not try to, like, weigh them down with thoughts of a million things going on. So let them play and be fluid with it. So, you know, those guys that look good offensively, you know, I think the line, it's tough, right? Because no one has pads on yet. They just got the little spiders. So, you know, how good is someone in pad, like, especially up front? Said early on, especially when it's really vanilla, there's not any real blitzes. You're seeing, like, just your traditional fronts. You don't have pads on. Like, for the offensive line, they're probably the group that gets really the least out of this of anyone because there's not the mental work for the blitz pickup, and then you really can't get, like, the physical work of trying to block somebody like you would with pads and everything. So those guys have done all right. It's been impressive to see the running back combo with Judkins and Trey. Because both those guys, they're very talented, but they're different runners, like different styles of how they go about it. And it's been exciting. Like I said, no pads. So you just watch them run through air and everything looks good. But early on, man, the team looks the part. And the guys move well. Like, this team has all the ingredients that you need to be able to go and have success.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are excited about this team and the talent, and rightfully so. One thing I've been really focused on, really dating back to last year, is really the coaching staff and, you know, how they create the foundation for this team. And they brought in a new guy. You know, me and Brian debated on whether or not we like to hire or not, but Chip Kelly, who talk about getting old. You know, Chip Kelly is getting up there in age, and it seems like he didn't want to necessarily continue to deal with all of the extra stuff you have to do as a head coach. And he just wanted to get back to coaching. Have you seen, you know, he had in his press conference, he just talked about, you know, pretty much being happy, choosing happiness, right? Have you seen anything from him different in approach on offense, or even Ryan Day's approach at being able to step back a little bit and be more of the, I guess, CEO?
I think a lot of that goes back to, you know, his relationship. I mean, he was a guy that recruited Ryan out of high school. They're from, I think, similar area, maybe same hometownish. And so there's a high degree of comfort there. Ryan, you know, cut his teeth under him. He was his boss for a number of years, both in college and the NFL. So, you know, you see that. And so there's a familiarity with system. And then you take into account, like, how successful Chip was in college. And even, honestly, in Philly, things got a little sideways, but he had some really good success and some really talented teams. Yeah. So I think Ryan's enjoyed kind of turning it over to him and allowing him to do it. And people think of Chip Kelly, and they still think of, like, those Oregon teams from back in the day where, you know, it's up-tempo, it's fast, you know, and everyone assumes the spread is all about throwing it. Well, you can watch them at UCLA, and even there at Oregon, they ran the setup, the pass. At UCLA, I mean, they run counter about 80 different ways. They're pulling guys all over the place. And while you, like, look at them, you know, it's like, hey, this offensive mastermind, this offensive genius, the way he goes about it is more of a physical rushing attack. So they're gonna integrate that with kind of what Ryan and Brian Hartline have been working in through the air, and it's gonna be, I think, a pretty special situation. And then, you know, and Chip personally, like, I didn't know what to expect. I saw a guy who in his press conferences at UCLA. Yeah, UCLA. Mm-hmm. And then even when he's in the NFL, like, you still get a little surly and sour just all the time. Like, every game. Like, no one's talking to the coordinators, really. Maybe for a couple minutes here or there, it's the head coach. So he seemed like he had kind of just, you know, become so rough around the head, didn't want to talk to anybody. And he's in there. I was amazed. Like, he's quick-witted. He's funny. Very personable, like, trying to engage with guys. You know, came up and talked to some of the older guys that were around. And it was awesome. And I told Ryan the other day, I was like, I did not expect that out of him. And, you know, he goes, I think you're seeing a guy that's like a little more free. Like, he doesn't have to deal with the stress. He's been at that podium, so he knows what it's like. So as a head coach, like, Ryan appreciates that. He's not going to do anything crazy, but at the same sense, like, he's gonna have fun out here coaching and, you know, enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because, to be honest, like you said, we debated a little bit, and I was kind of under the impression, it's like, kind of like, okay, is Coach Day hiring his dad, right? Like, you know, is he really going to be able to say something to Coach Chip Kelly and it actually, you know, resonate? Like, you know, it's like, no, I taught you football. Like, you don't tell me how to do things of the offense. But it seems like, you know, early on that Chip is really, you know, he's a pro. He's been doing it for a long time. So he's coming in. It seems like he has the right attitude. Like you say, he's talking to guys, being fun. But at the same time, we expect him to really crank on our offense because we need help with the rush, right? I mean, last year we did okay, but we could really, you know, do a lot better when it comes to running the ball. So looking forward to that, that's for sure.
No, we have to do a lot better running the ball. We have to. Right, with the backfield that we have, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they brought those guys in. I mean, I think there's an expectation. I mean, should be rolling up 200 yards a game. And some of that, it's not just the bags, it's going to fall on the offensive line. And right. So great because Justin Fry was out there with him earlier. I think he's a good offensive line coach. It takes a little bit of time. You know, Brian, you can talk about this. I mean, it's five guys working together, and every coach has a little bit different way of teaching things. And so I think that their last year is kind of a learning curve with that a little bit of trying to figure out exactly what we're trying to run, how they're going to do it, and the techniques. And they're getting older too. The team's a lot more of a veteran presence now. You have a lot of guys who are returning starters, which is key, especially Donovan Jackson coming back, you know, and the presence he has. So now you've got a bunch of guys who are entrenched starters. They know what to do. They understand the offense. And so I feel like the rushing game should pick up a lot, and it should be more consistent. They would hit those home runs, you know, they get them, but I feel like this is more of a situation. They line up. Like, there's the expectation of getting 4 yards each and every play.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah.
So we love Devin Brown's mindset, right? So every time he has a press conference, it seems like he has a good quote to bring to the podcast. So I think the most recent one was he talked about guys living in their mom's basements, telling him that he's likely gonna transfer. But so we've had some discussions about, you know, what is his shot of being the starting quarterback? You bring in a guy, Will Howard, who has a ton of experience, a ton of film, and how do you really compete at practice? Spring practice, camp, against a guy with a bunch of film, right? So do you think Devin Brown coming in, obviously you got a new guy who was recruited to come here. What do you think his chances are to be able to compete and be able to lead the team this year?
Well, I'll say this, you know, and kind of how Ryan treats everything, at least is what I've seen, where, you know, the guys that have earned their spot, you know, they're going to have the chance to kind of earn it or hold it. And, you know, that goes to the center. You know, Seth McLaughlin comes in. I think Hinsman was still taking the opening team, first team snaps Tuesday and Thursday. You know, Devin Brown was still taking the first team snaps, you know, on Tuesday and Thursday. And I thought Devin looked good in practice. And, you know, they was in that battle last year with Kyle. I don't think either one of them really separated a ton. Yeah. Kyle, you know, won it and played okay and did a pretty good job throughout the season. But the one thing with Devin is, and anybody who's played can understand this, you know, Devin, he's a very charismatic personality. You can hear by his conversations, his tone of what he's saying. Like, he's an aggressive guy. his teammates really like him. Like, everybody gravitates towards him. And so for Ryan to be like, hey, come in. I know Devin's been here. I know Lincoln Kinos is here. We've got, you know, Aaron Nolan coming in. We just got Julian Sam. But you know what, Ryan, you're our starter. I don't think you can – or Will, I mean. Will, you're our starter. I don't think you can do that. And you can't fool the room. So you've got to play it out. And you're going to give Devin, you know, the starting crack because he has relationships with all those guys. You know, they understand what he's about. Now, does he win it? I don't know. But like it hurts the culture and integrity of the program if you just bring somebody in and, like, day one, they're the guy. People have to see the film because no matter if you're playing offense or defense in the spring and what position you're playing, you're watching the film. And especially a quarterback or even anything else. But you see other guys like, man, this guy's playing well. You know, like other coaches might make a comment on it. And you're like, okay, like, can you see enough of that? Okay, this is our guy. He starts getting confidence and whatever. But if all of a sudden, like, Devin Brown's playing great, like, yeah, we're just going to put Will Howard in there because whatever. Everybody else is going to look at that. And you'll probably have – you could have veteran players that would step up and be like, coach, like, I know your job is to coach this team and do what you think is best, but we're all watching the same film. Mm-hmm. And so if you do that, you may lose a little bit of the room. You may lose the team some. So, Ryan, you got to let this play out. And I think he's done a good job of that. You know, I would say that Will is the odds-on favorite to be the starter, but I don't think it's this massive gap. You got to remember, Devin Brown hasn't played a lot of football. And so he's going to continue to get better through the spring. And we'll see how that goes rolling into fall. I know Ryan would probably like to have a starter sooner rather than later, but that is only played out by the competition. And I think what everybody's seen thus far, guys, is that no one's like, man, this is like, Will is clearly the dude. Because if that happens, they'll put him there. But until that happens, you don't want to do that and jeopardize the culture of your team.
Yeah, see, this is where I think that's tricky, right? Because
I like that. I like that take, Bobby.
This is why it's tricky to me, though, because Will Howard, I mean, obviously they'll compete in the spring, they'll compete in the fall, but I can tell you who Will Howard is because he has so much film. He has so much he already put on tape, and Devin Brown still has the unknown. So, and I'm not saying that Will should get the nod or not, right? What I'm saying is, for Devin Brown, it's a challenging situation because you expect him to improve. At least I expect him to continue to improve. And it's hard to project somebody's development, right? But when those guys go back in the coach's room and they're making this decision, let's say, you know, Devin Brown technically wins out on the practice field, right? It's still practice. And it's kind of like, you know, we have to make a decision. So if no one pulls away, right, it feels like even if Derrick Brown edges him in a practice situation, that you go with the guy that you've seen him do it when the bullets fly. So it just seems like it seems tricky. I hope somebody pulls away so that it's a clear cut, but it becomes a challenging decision to make.
Yeah, well, so for me, I got to always have the argument here, though. It's like, you know, we've seen Will Howard a lot. He played well. He played good. But is he, you know, a Heisman finalist type of guy? I mean, really, right now, he hasn't shown that. If you watch his games, you see games where he's fantastic. You see games you kind of like, what's going on out there? So I feel like, you know, the competition window is open and that Devin should have a real chance to earn that spot through practice and what he could do on the field. Yeah.
So, Jim, what you're describing there is like that's the nightmare for any of the coaches is you have – like. And that's a little bit what's happening last year. Like, no one was consistent enough. And, like, the best problem, like, you have two guys that are both playing great, and that's a tough problem. And then the other problem is, like, well, both guys have kind of been inconsistent. Maybe, like, no one's really elevated. Like, that's a whole nother bag of issues. And I know that Ryan would love to see that. Hey, whoever the best man is, win that thing out. And hopefully that does happen. I'm not saying that I don't think, you know, Will won't be the quarterback. But I don't think right now, and especially what I saw in practice, like Devin was throwing a really nice ball. So I'm like, all right, if you can get better, Will's got a lot of film. Everybody's seen that film. But it's just always interesting because, you know, with players on the team, yeah, they value that film, but they always value what you've kind of done around them a little more. Like, as we talk about the brotherhood and everything else, like what you've done for us and with us and what we've seen you do in practice. And not that, you know, translates directly to games, but what he did was somewhere else. You've got to come here and you got to put on the jersey like we do, mm-hmm. and do it in a, you know, in a huge venue now, because you know Kansas State, it's a good program, but it is playing in Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas, not like playing in the Shoe. So there's going to be a level up, and I think people believe he can do that. And he's a leader. He's a charismatic guy, but it's not something where like, hey, come on in, the table's set. You just got to sit down.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess to help that out, we do have three. Let's call it out of conference.
Yeah.
Games to kind of start the season. I'm not going to say lesser opponents, but most likely, you know, lesser opponents. And we can have some time to kind of figure that out. But I want to ask you the question. Obviously, James Laurinaitis, he got the linebacker coaching job. One of your little brothers, right? Someone to kind of carry on that linebacker legacy at Ohio State. And as we know, Sonny Styles is now being transitioned into that linebacker space. How do you feel James' experience of, you know, being a Buckeye, being a linebacker, NFL linebacker for many years, would really help out a guy like Sonny Styles and help him kind of make that transition to learning the position?
Well, I think number one, having someone that played there helps immensely, you know, and that's, they understand like the gravity of that position. And it's a position at Ohio State, you know, that I take a tremendous amount of pride in. There's been a ton of guys, you know, going back, you know, way back to guys, and I say way back in, you know, the 70s, like Randy Gard. And then you've got Spielman and Pepper Johnson and Steve Tovar, all these guys who I grew up watching, Diggs and Katzenmoore, and then ultimately getting to play there. And you just see like the history of the guys and Tom Cousineau. And it's just, there's so many of them that are really good. And so James understands that. He appreciates it. So you know what the standard is. And so you got to coach guys to that standard and understanding Sonny Styles is a special human being physically. Like he has elite traits that not many human beings possess. And I say not many, meaning like very few people walking the earth in the past, present, or the future. Like he's a special guy. And he's a really good, really good young man. Like he's a smart guy, practices hard, he works hard. Like he gets it. He's a guy from Central Ohio, which you know, I don't know if that matters, but being in state, understanding this, growing up around it, you know, having a dad this close to it, you know, a brother that was a little older than him that, you know, played at Notre Dame to start, but like just understanding all of that stuff that goes into it. And then you've got to make this position shift. And so I think James is about as uniquely qualified as anybody to make sure he can hold him to task, that he'll be able to instruct him. Because James, while being a really good player, no one was confusing him with the best athlete on the field. And so he had to get it done, you know, intelligence, technique, anticipation, all this stuff. And so that's stuff that I watched him coach into these guys. And so he's relentless on technique. And just because you can get it done against this guy in practice or that guy early in the season, like he coaches guys to make sure that they're able to take on the best guys that they're going to face. And so while Sonny can probably go in and be pretty decent right away just because of his physical gifts,
yeah,
James will coach and lean in on, hey, man, how can we get better? The little nuances. And it was just like Fick would be with him and with me. He'd just sit there and read, look at the step. Like, what are we doing? You know, and just the little things, hand placement, and break it all down over and over and try to drive it in to make sure. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult transition for Sonny because this is something he's never done before. He's always been a back-level player. So as you move forward, and this, as a guy, I mean, I played safety in high school, and I moved to linebacker. And then at Ohio State, I started playing, you know, some on-the-ball stuff, edge rushing my senior year. And so, like, all three levels – there's just different skill sets. And when you're in the back end, you can use vision and anticipation, be an athlete more. But the closer you get to the ball, you want to keep all of those traits, but it becomes pure reactionary. And then you can do it. You can't be like looking up and over top. You have to look at the thing that's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And so that was the hardest thing for me. Like if I'm playing on the edge of the ball, it's the tight end, it's the offensive tackle and fix. Like it doesn't matter what's going on in the backfield because if he blocks you, you're not getting off anyway. You used to have a lot of space to work in. That space, the closer you get, man, it gets tighter and tighter to where those false steps when you're fast run you out of the play even more. Mm-hmm. And so the patience, the vision, seeing those things, like that's something that's going to take some time. And that's why they're going to rep the heck out of it during training camp right now or during spring ball and then even into training camp. But I mean, he has the ability there. You know, they started rolling him up a little bit. I think he can play in the box. It's not a physicality thing, but it's going to be changing from, you know, that instincts to just pure reaction of knowing what to be able to do.
That was a great explanation, because my next question, similar to what you just explained about you started at safety and started moving closer and closer. I feel like we have a few guys who are physical specimens, right? CJ Hicks, Sonny Styles. You have a guy like Arvell Reese. And Jim Knowles made the comment the other day talking about playing some of that 3-4 bare front type defense against heavier personnel. I feel like there's an opportunity to do more of the 3-4 Oakey front versus third and long situations, passing defense, to have the flexibility to drop guys in coverage, have guys blitz off the edge. And, man, we got a lot of guys, man. It just seems like there's a lot of guys who fit that body type that could play an outside linebacker and rush the passer. Do you think they would likely do something like that? You know, he talked about the bare front, but do you think maybe a CJ or Arvell Reese or even Kenyatta Jackson, some of the defensive end guys, could play like an outside linebacker in certain situations and be effective?
What's interesting, like Kenyatta, he stands up and he'll get in a two-point a lot of times in his rush stance. I think he just feels more comfortable that way. So whether it's two-point, three-point, you know, it's really just about your alignment. You had nine on the edge and five to the open side of the tackle. You on the end of the line of scrimmage. You know, I would be hesitant always because people talk about Sonny just because he's really big and fast. I said, like, I like to move guys forward in stages. Like, okay, now we can play off the ball. I don't want to throw somebody right on there and, like, ask him to have another set of skills and get upset when it maybe isn't as good as he should be. Like, let's feed him one bite at a time a little bit, because it's a lot, and it's unfair to the player. A guy now like Arvell Reese, he took a lot of DN reps in camp, very talented player, physically gifted. They've been trying to work him at linebacker just because you can teach somebody in the offseason how to rush the passer. Like, that's something you can work on. Whereas, like, the vision of being able to play off the ball, it's tough to replicate that if you're not in a game situation, whether it's, you know, an inside run or 9 or 7 on 7, like, you're getting the feel of all that. So I think that he can hop up there. I think he'd be a viable person to do that. They want to get him a lot of mic reps, I feel like, right now. The real guy I think that it could really be good at is CJ Hicks. He's not the biggest dude in the world, but you look at how the game has changed. I mean, he's about 230 pounds. You know, he's about my height, probably about 6'3". He's got great bend. He's got great flexion. They've used him in the blitz already. I think if you get him on the edge and you teach him just, hey, step and squeeze, pass rush here, up and under, you can get a couple of moves and get him in the bag for him. I think that would be a great way to be able to get, because you don't want to take Cody Simon off the field for what he means to the team with just leadership intelligence. And him and Lathan Ransom are going to be the traffic cops. But being able to get Sonny and then get CJ out there as well on some packages, it's a lot of athleticism on the field. It gives you a lot of flexibility. You know, CJ's a smart guy. He understands the game really well. But I think he would be a great guy to get some reps up there to see what he could potentially do. And that'd be a way to kind of get all three of those guys on the field together.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. So, Bobby, so, I mean, I think that's pretty much all I had. Can you got anything, go?
No, man, I just the last thing, you know, Denzel Burke came out and said this is the natty or bust year. When I look at the roster, I feel like if he said it, I feel the same way, right? So what do you think about that? You think that's the mindset kind of floating around the Woody? Or?
You know, I think those guys all came back for a reason. You know, they came back to play with those guys one more year to get some gold pants, to win a Big Ten championship. And ultimately, if you do that in ascending order, you get to the national title. And I hate saying, like, it's a natty or bust, because that implies anything short of that is a failure. Now, I think this is a team that should be playing in the national championship game. Like, to go say anybody's going to win it right now, I hate that. Yeah. This is the talent to get through that final game. They stay healthy, things work out, and it's good. They've got all the ingredients. But they've got to obviously work it and earn it every day. And you know, if they end up losing, it all depends on, you know, how it looks. But I hate to say, I like to use the term more unfulfilled expectations, because I was on some really good teams that should have probably won, that could have won national championships that didn't. And so, like, I don't view those teams as a failure. It's like, man, we just didn't fulfill what we ultimately could have, as long as we were all in. And sometimes, you know, the game of football is weird. You get some bad breaks, some bad bounce, bad call, and it's tough to overcome that. And so, like, if you're out there shooting yourself in the foot, that's one thing. But sometimes there's just crap that happens, man, and there's nothing else you can do about it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Bobby, once again, we appreciate your time. I'd like to end all our shows with an OH. Go Bucks. Go Bucks. And we'll catch you guys next time.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.